This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In On Muslim Author, he says about our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you must know this man. He taught us and he practiced that peace is a rule and war is exception. You know him, you will love him. And the condition follows, if you love him, you will follow him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's my pleasure to be here as a coordinator for today's program under the campaign, If You Know Him, You Will Love Him, conducted by Edification and Religious Guidance Department of Islamic Affairs and Charitable Activities Department. In tonight's event, you have been blessed by having Brother Ahmed Hamid. Brother Ahmed Hamid is a well-known international orator who makes us remember Ahmed Didat by his way of speech, presentation, and approach. Ahmed Hamid is currently working as IT manager in an American-based company in Dubai and associated with Islamic Affairs and Charitable Activities Department in its ongoing programs and campaigns. Brother Ahmed Hamid has delivered many lectures in different parts of the world and in different topics on Islam. May I request Brother Ahmed Hamid to present his talk. If you know him, you will love him.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي I first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to be able to gather here to speak about the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank Islamic Affairs and Charitable Activities Department for organizing this event and benefiting all of us. And I thank each one of you for your humble presence. My respected elders, and my dear brothers and sisters, I greet with the greetings of peace of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Meaning, may the peace, mercy, and the blessings of Almighty God Allah the Most High be on all of you. The topic of tonight is, if you know Him, you will love Him. My dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the one who became orphan at the tender age. We are going to talk about the one who was chosen as the last and final messenger of Allah. We are going to talk about the one who received the Quran as the last and final revelation, message for the whole of humanity. We are going to talk about the one who came as a mercy, as a favor, as a blessing, as a guide for all of us. We are going to talk about the one who came to purify us. We are going to talk about the one who preached and practiced human rights, women's rights, animals' rights more than 1400 years ago. We are going to talk about the one who cared for you, who cried for you, so that we may be guided. We are going to talk about the one who was the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His blessed name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, he was the one who was the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we study the glorious Quran, we find that the best in the whole creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the humans. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17, Ayat number 70, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that we have honored the children of Adam and have preferred them over others. And the best among all the humans are those men who were chosen as the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to the hadith of Mishkat al-Masabi, volume number 3, hadith number 5737, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that there were no less than 124,000 prophets and messengers sent to this world. And the best among these 124,000 prophets and messengers are 25 messengers and prophets who are mentioned in the Quran by name. Like, for example, Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and on and on. And the best among these 25 prophets and messengers are 5 messengers. They are termed as Ulul Azm Mir Rusul. The top 5, and they are Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best among these 5 are 2 messengers, and they are Ibrahim alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best between these 2 is our Nabi Kareem Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the Imam ul-Anbiya, the leader of all the Anbiya Kiram. And a non-Muslim author, he says about our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you must know this man. He says, you must know this man. You may be an atheist or an agnostic, or you may be a believer in any of the religious denominations that exist in the world around us. You may be a communist or a believer in democracy. No matter what you are, and no matter what your religious, political, and social habits happen to be, you must still know this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the question is, why should we know him? Well, where the world is passing through a time of turmoil, the state of confusion, where injustice is at peak, where morality has no value, where racism is spreading, where polytheism is dominated, we need to know a man who came as a benefactor for the whole of humanity. An Urdu poet, he says, Utar kar hira se ek suwe qaum aya. Utar kar hira se ek suwe qaum aya. Aur usne ek nuskhe kimia laya. Wo bijli ka kadka tha ya sote hadi. Jahan ki zameen jisne sari hila di. He came as a benefactor for the humanity from the cave of Hira to guide people, to save them from the hellfire. History of the time will tell you that it was the darkest period in the history of mankind when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to declare his mission. The need was to raise prophets and messengers in every corner of the world, or sending one master messenger to take people out from polytheism, from disbelief, from superstition, from wrong and oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his own divine wisdom, chose our Nabiyye Kareem, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the backwaters of Arabia, and gave him the title, as mentioned in Surah Anbiya, Surah number 21, Ayat number 107, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he declares, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except as a mercy for all the worlds, for all creatures. Heart of every Muslim is filled with the love and respect for this messenger of Allah. And this love is an asset for us. Love and respect is based on the favors, on the benefits that we get from him. And our Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who has guided us in every aspect of life, let us know some of the roles that he played in order for us to guide and save in the Akhirah. Let us first know about him as a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was chosen as a prophet when he was 40 years old. And receiving the revelation, the glorious Quran, it was not easy, my brothers. It was not easy to receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran which is heavy to be received. Sometimes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to get sweat in a cold day. Sometimes he used to heavily breathe continuously. Sometimes he used to get revelation with the ringing of the bell. And this was the hardest form of inspiration. And this continued for a period of 23 years. So it was not easy to receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Quran was heavy. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hashr, Surah number 59, Ayat number 21. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ, if you have sent down the Quran on the mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ, you will see it, خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, you will see it humbling it and rent asunder with the fear of Allah. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَدْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. This is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give example to the mankind. Perhaps they may reflect. The glorious Quran today, it's very easy for us. We have an easy access. But it was not easy to be received over a period of 23 years. Pity on us. We still don't follow as we ought to follow the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent this Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than 1400 years ago. And making Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger for all the mankind, as a messenger, He was called by His own people. When He declared His mission, He was called as Majnoon, crazy man, a madman. He was called as a liar, which hurts Him a lot. He was called as a soothsayer. Imagine a man who came out striving, struggling, and suffering for these people to save them from the hellfire. And they calling him Majnoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He defeats, refuses, and discards their claim. In Surah Qalam, Surah number 68, ayat number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. By the grace of Allah, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are not a madman. As a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was given the power, the position, authority, and everything at the cost of his faith. But he rejected them. He rejected them and was committed to his faith, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once, Umar came to his house and he saw him sleeping on a mat which was made up of dry grass. Umar, he came out and he busted out. He cried because he saw the marks on the shoulder of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, look at the kings around us. Look at the king of Persia, of Byzantine, and the other kings in the world. They are not living like you. You could have a better living, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, they have got what they've been given, and I have got what I have been given. Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased. I am pleased with what Allah has given to me. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never walked with pride. He never wore any clothes which are arrogant. He never appeared in front of people that he's a king, emperor, or ruler, even though he was an absolute ruler. He was a leader for all, yet very simple. If anyone could enter a hall like this, where the Prophet is sitting among the Sahaba, and it was very common that people will look out. Where is the leader? He might be sitting somewhere on a highly elevated position, in a special seat, throne. It was very common that people used to enter and used to ask this question, where is Muhammad? Who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was so simple that he was mixed up with the Sahaba that people could not recognize him. That's how simple he was. He used to live with the Sahaba, eat with them, and move with them. Do we find a single leader like this? He was peerless, matchless. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, as a messenger of Allah, he went to Taif, few miles away from Makkah. When he went there to deliver the message, the chiefs among them, the nobles of them, the elite of them, they instigated the local boys to abuse this messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was there accompanying his companion Zaid radiallahu anhu, and these boys, these local boys, they abuse Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They mock at him And they even pelt stones at him, so much so that his sandals became wet with the blood. On one occasion, he was so much injured that he fainted and he fell down. And the angel Gabriel, he came and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent salam on you. He said, salam on you. And he sent the angel of mountains to seek your permission to crush these two mountains and destroy these people as a result of their treatment with you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, leave them. Leave them. I don't want to take any revenge. Leave them. Maybe their future generation will become Muslims. And today, Taif is one of the beautiful cities in the world, in Saudi Arabia. Taif is one of the most beautiful cities in Saudi Arabia. And today, in Taif, all of them are Muslims. As a result of being Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, leave them. And a prayer of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, maybe their future generation will be among Muslims. That was Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a messenger of Allah. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was commanded to make a move from Makkah, to make hijrah, the migration, he left Ali. You know why? You know why? Because he had to hand over those valuables, those reserves that he kept of the kuffar. Imagine a man in the world to whom all the insults have been done. His people were killed. He was tortured. And this man, before moving, he entrusted Ali to hand over the reserves, the valuables, proving that he was indeed Al-Amin. And when he entered the Makkah, after conquering it, how does the warriors, the conquerors, the winners, they react? He didn't react like that. He came to Makkah in a noble way. And he asked the people, what do you expect from me now? And they said, knowing him well, mercy, O generous brethren, mercy. And he said, I will deal with you the way my brother Yusuf has dealt with his brothers. Go, I forgive you. That was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my dear brothers and sisters, it is easy to forgive somebody when you are weak. When you are weak, it is easy because you have no choice but to forgive. But when you have power, authority, dominion, which the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was powerful. But he said, forgive him. It is not easy to forgive somebody, especially when he has done some wrong to him, to his family, to his companion, and drove them out. And when he conquered back, he didn't take revenge. He said, I forgive you. Go, you are free. That was the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as an army general, he taught us and he practiced that peace is a rule and war is exception. He taught us that peace is a rule and war is exception. As a prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as an army general, as a head, he commanded to his soldiers and to the Muslims indirectly. He commanded them that when you are in the battlefield, when you are fighting with your enemies, it is prohibited for you to kill the women, the children, the sick and the ill people, the religious people of other faiths who are not involved in the battlefield. It is prohibited for you to kill the horses, birds, animals, destroying homes, torturing fields, spoiling the wells, and enduring and giving punishment to those who are injured during the war. This was the command of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a husband, he was kind to his wives. Although a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to help his wives in the homework. As a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to take care of all of them. He used to help them, advise them, guide them, and he made them as an asset for us, for the ummah, as an evident proof from one of his wives, Aisha radiallahu anha. She is the most educated among all. And we get more than 2,000 ahadith on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. He made her and the rest as an asset for ummah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had the best of akhlaq, the best character that he had as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was kind to all. He never cared for himself, but whatever he had, he used to give it away. Once, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked, how is the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she said, don't you read the Quran? Don't you read the Quran? كان خلقه القرآن. She said, كان خلقه القرآن. He was the Quran. His character was the Quran. And in another narration, it says, كان قرآنا يمشي على الأرض. It was said that he was a walking Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Quran, in Surah Qalam, Surah number 68, Ayat number 4. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are on exalted standard of character. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as a leader for all the humanity, he taught us each and everything in all the departments of life. From the cradle to grave, he taught us what to do when the baby is born. And he also taught us how to bury the Muslims in the ground. Everything that he taught us as a leader for all of us to take him as an example to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33, Ayat number 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example for you to follow in the life is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This topic, my brothers and sisters, is a reminder for us, is an advice for us to evaluate ourselves, as the topic is very conditional. It says, if you know him, you will love him. And the condition follows, if you love him, you will follow him. The scholars, they said, the true love is in the action of the believer. If you really know him, you will love him. And if you really love him, you must follow him. Loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an obligation on all of us. Loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one of the tenets of Islam. It is one of the foundations, as Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, it is one of the foundations of all the deeds. The scholars, they have given different statements in order to show what is the real or what is the reality of loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran and the Sunnah. The scholars, they said, loving Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, means, number one, believing in him as one who was sent as the last and final messenger to all the people, as Allah says in Surah Araf, Surah number 7, Ayat number 158, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O mankind, I am sent you as a messenger for all of you. The scholars say, loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means, number two, follow and obey him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayat number 80. Following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following messenger of Allah is like following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that you must take his judgment as the last judgment in all your life, in all the issues of your life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayat number 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. You will never be a believer unless you make Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a judge in all your disputes and accept his judgment with fullest conviction. Loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that you must worship Allah in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that you must love him more than anybody else. As it is a hadith mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 1, hadith number 14, where Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, لَا يُعْمِنُ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. You will never be a believer unless you love me more than your own fathers, your own children, and the rest of mankind. Loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that you must remember him, that you must think about him all the time. Loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that you must defend him. You must support him by promoting the message brought by him. As he says, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Propagate the message even if it is a single ayah. Let us know now the virtues and the rewards that we get by loving sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was reported by Aisha radiallahu anha that there was a man who came and said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than my own family, more than my own children, and more than myself. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than my family, my children, and myself. When I'm sitting at home, I remember you. And I'm overwhelmed to see you. The worry was that the way we see you in this world, we might not get an opportunity when you and me die in the Jannah, because you will be in the ranks of the prophets. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did not say anything until the ayah revealed to him. And the ayah says in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayat number 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he who obeys Allah and his messenger, they will have the grace of the company of the prophets, Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, like Abu Bakr, Shuhada, and Saliheen. They will be in the company of all of them. And what an excellent companionship it is. It is narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 5, hadith number 37, that a man came and asked Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Matasa, when is the hour? Referring to the day of judgment, when is the hour? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what have you prepared for it? He said, nothing except the love of Allah and his messenger. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be with those whom you love. And the Sahaba, they said, Wallahi, we were never happy. So much so that hearing this from Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he said to his people, you will be with those whom you love. And the Sahaba, they loved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they were despair that we might not be able to be a companion in Jannah. And when they hear this, they were so happy that they will be in the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in Jannah. Another hadith narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 1, hadith number 15, where sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, those who possess three qualities will have sweetness of faith. One to whom Allah and His Messenger is dearer to him than anybody else and anything else. Two, he loves a person and he loves him for the sake of Allah. And three, he hates to revert to disbelief. To disbelieve as he hates to be thrown in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made us an obligation to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, it is one of the tenets of Islam, without which a person might not be a true believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, ayat number 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكين ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. In this ayah, Ibn Taymiyyah says, it is understood that we must prefer Allah, His Messenger, and striving in His cause more than our own family, our own children, our own commerce, our own wealth, our own dwellings, our everything, even ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as one of the favors for us by which we get guided. Without the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our life is a failure. And following this, if we actually look at the implications of loving Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayat number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. So say, if you really, really love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, and Allah is all oft forgiving and most merciful. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts a condition of loving Him that we must follow sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's only then you can attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba, they loved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in true sense. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to wish something, and that was a command for them. They used to love him by obeying and following his commands. And there are so many examples that we could follow, that we could read. One of the examples is of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says, when sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to make hijrah, he came to him and he said, I have been authorized by Allah to migrate, to make hijrah. Abu Bakr, he said, Ya Rasulullah, companionship. I want to accompany you. And sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, yes, you can accompany me. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I have never seen a man. This is my first experience that a man is weeping, is crying out of happiness. Abu Bakr, he was so happy to be with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was making hijrah. And imagine, mind you, it was not a journey of entertainment. It was not a travel of leisure. The people of Makkah, their enemies were after him to kill him. He was in danger. And still Abu Bakr, because of his love for sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he chose and he was happy to be in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was the example for us to follow. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he said once to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everybody except me. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, by him in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, you will never be a complete believer unless you love me even more than your own self. Umar, being a true follower, true lover of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he immediately acted on it and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you now more than myself. That was the love, my dear brothers and sisters. And there are so many examples for us to look at in the life of Uthman, Ali, and the Ashara Mubashara, the family of Yasir, Ibn Abbas, Anas, and all these companions. May Allah have mercy on us to guide us the way that they used to love Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once, a woman from the tribe of Banu Dinar, her husband, her father, her brother was killed in the Battle of Uhud. And when she was informed about it, she said the first thing, what happened to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Where is he? Where is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? She never thought of her own husband, father, and brother. She first said, what happened to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And they informed her that he is fine, alhamdulillah. And she said, I want to see him by myself. And when they pointed out to him, she said, any disaster besides losing you is insignificant. Is insignificant. It is immaterial. No one is dear to me than you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the love of Sahaba, because they followed him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An Urdu poet, he says, "Ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne, to ham tere hain. Ye jahan cheez hai kya, lauh qalam tere hain." That was the attitude of Sahaba. Their attachment for this world was nothing. Their attachment was with the Akhirah, because they got the sense which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving them. They were the products of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us now look at the last sermon that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave in Dhul Hijjah, in Yawm al-Arafah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking him, he said, O people, listen to it carefully, for I know not that I will be there with you on this occasion again. And he guided them in various ways. Number one, he said, O people, as you regard this day, this month, this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of all Muslims. You will appear in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day to answer the questions. Number two, he said, O people, return the reserves that you have, the amana that you have to the rightful owners. Number three, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that riba, interest, usury is haram. Number four, he said, O people, be kind to your wives. They have certain rights over you, and you have certain rights over them. Treat them well. Be kind to them, for they are your committed partners and helpers. Number five, he said, beware of shaitan. Beware of shaitan, for he's desperate to deviate you. To deviate you from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beware of you, of him, in all aspects of life. Number six, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that all Muslims are brothers, and you should not take anything from other brothers unless it is given willingly. Number seven, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, all are the children of Adam. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab. A white has no superiority over a black, and a black has no superiority over a white, except by piety and good action. Number eight,
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O people, listen to it carefully. Reflect on my words. I am keeping two things behind me. The Quran and my Sunnah as an example for you to follow. If you stick to these two, you will never be misguided and you will never fail." Number 9, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O people, listen to this carefully. You must worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray 5 times a day. Observe fasting in the month of Ramadan. Pay zakah and perform hajj if you're able to." Number 10, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Be mindful for those who are under you. Be mindful of those who are under you. Feed them and clothe them as you feed and clothe yourselves." Number 11, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "La nabiyya ba'di." There is no nabi, there is no prophet after me, and there is no new religion which will come. Number 12, the final thing he said, "All those who are sitting here must take this message to those who are not present, and they to others again." And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Have I conveyed the message to you?" And they all gave an acknowledgement. "Yes, Rasulullah, you have conveyed the message." Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Be my witness, O Allah, I have conveyed the message." And that's how he ended his khutbah. And he moved. When we see the last days of his life, he was sick for about 13 to 14 days before his death, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one day, he went to masjid and he said, "The slave has been given the choice to be in this world or to be with Allah." He used an analogy, an example, that the slave was given a choice to be in this world or to be with Allah. And the slave has chosen Allah. Abu Bakr, he started weeping because he's got the sense that his most beloved is departing him. He's leaving. As Abu Bakr used to love him so much, he was so close to your heart. Imagine when you lose someone close to your heart, what happens? Abu Bakr, he started crying. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Abu Bakr crying, he said, "If I were to take a friend other than Allah, that would be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." That was Abu Bakr during the last days of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Fatima radiallahu anha, During the time when he was dying, a day or a day before, he called Fatima in the afternoon, in the daytime, and he said something in secret which made Fatima cry. And then he said something else again which made Fatima laugh. Aisha, she inquired after the death of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "What made you weep and what made you laugh?" She said, "The first time Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I will not recover from my illness. And the second time, so I wept. And the second time, he said that I will be the first one to join him among his family. So I laughed." The death of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam was the greatest disaster for the Sahaba. The Sahaba says, that there was no darker period in our life. There was no greater musibah, calamity that befall on us than the loss of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, the best day that I witnessed was the day when we receive Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. And the worst day that I have ever witnessed was the day that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he died. The Sahaba was not in their state as they loved him so much. Umar radiallahu anhu, he lost his mind. He almost lost his consciousness. And he says, whoever says that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has died, I will cut off his head. I will cut off his legs and hands. I will kill him. Abu Bakr, he came. He came and he relaxed Umar. And he said, an ayah from the Quran, from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayat number 144. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِرَّا إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. He said, Muhammad was merely a messenger of Allah, and many were the messengers who passed of him before him. Umar radiallahu anhu says, by Allah, when I heard this ayah from Abu Bakr, I was collapsed and I fell down as if I could not walk. And only then I realized that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed away. That was the reaction of sallallahu alayhi, of the Sahaba towards the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our beloved is not with us. We can't meet him in this world. We can't see him. We can't talk to him. But his sunnah, his way is with us. So if you really know him and if you really love him, you must follow the way of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you really love him, you must obey what he says. If you really love him, you will call people to the message that he invited to. That is Al-Islam. If you really love him, you will make Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the judge in all your disputes and accept his judgment as the last. If you really love him, you will promote his personality to the people of the world. There was no man ever lived such as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was so powerful and pure, who was so simple and soft, who was so generous and gentle. From the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the full lessons to learn and follow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us benefit from what we learned today and tonight. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us promote the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to develop the sincere love towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally to make us among those who will be with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. I would like to end my talk with an ayah with which I began my talk, from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayat number 31, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you really, really love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, يُحِبَّبِكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, and Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Thank you so much for your patient listening. Jazakallah khair.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin. Wa Khaliquna, wa Raziquna,
وهو على كل شيء قدير. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is the one who loves the Muhsineen.